Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're continuing our study in Ezekiel here. Ezekiel, receiving the word of Yahuwah, the word of the Almighty God, and liking the false prophets to those that build with poor mortar, those that build a wall with mortar that crumbles. Perhaps they just put sand in it and not very much cement at all. So say to them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall, and there shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. So when trials and tribulations come, and as I was sharing with my friend Tom on his broadcast, that when these things start to happen, and they see that the prophecies are left unfulfilled, they got their rapture seatbelt on, and their rapture seatbelt on, and the seven-year tribulation that they believe is beginning with a certain event, a seven-year treaty to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, included in that treaty, then they're going to say, well, why wasn't I raptured? And it's going to start to crumble and fall. And at the end, and at the midpoint, when the mid-tribulation rapture doesn't happen, well, it's going to crumble a little bit more, and more people are going to fall and start questioning prophecy, and a few more will hold on, waiting for the 7 years to complete and go, well, it must be a post-tribulation rapture. And then after 7 years, when it doesn't happen, and the true Antichrist stands up, then they'll completely fall, except for the elect, who would be deceived if it were possible. But it is not possible for the elect to be deceived beyond the point where the true Antichrist stands up, and the church is not raptured out, and the last trump doesn't sound, because it's not time for the last trump to sound. There is a new dark ages coming, and there's going to be a new social order, and a restart button is going to be set on Satan's monetary system, and then will be required the mark of the beast to buy or sell or trade in his monetary system. Of course, there will still be a black market and trading and, you know, in substance and goods out there for people who do not participate, yet you may do it at the peril of your own life. Can you imagine? The monetary police will be in full action, busting up all of the illegal monetary transactions. They got laws to throw you in prison for structuring and unlawfully hiding your assets and, all of these ways that we have of working around the Mark of the Beast monetary system. But boy, when that time comes, they'll be policing the black market and because everyone has to participate, you know, everyone. That's right. They're going to require everyone to participate. And if you don't participate, well, it may be deemed that it's better for humanity if you just simply do not live and you forfeit your lives. It's unbelievable for many people to think that, but, you know, Satan is ruthless and he wants to kill as many, especially believers, not to mention all of those duped people that are following him. He doesn't care. I mean, he likes you hanging around if you're serving his purpose, but he still wants you dead and in the lake of fire forever with him. Although he's probably deluded into thinking that lake of fire thing isn't really going to happen. I don't know. I can't even pretend to know the mind of that evil one of the dragon who's driving this whole thing. But anyway, all of the false prophecy is going to start falling down. He says, so I will break down the wall of their false prophecy that you have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. Well, hallelujah. You know, let me help, Heavenly Father. Help I'll help you. I want to break down the walls because that's what I'm doing right now. He's called me to break down the walls of false prophecy so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. And what is that, that foundation that shall be discovered? It's counter-reformation eschatology developed by the very Antichrist who seeks to deceive the whole world with his great delusion. And everyone will believe it except for the elect. Are your eyes open? The foundation thereof has been discovered. The Heavenly Father has tumbled and crumbled the wall down. Will you look at it? Most people won't even look at it. No, that can't be true. Smooth words. Yeah, well, like we said, when the smooth words, when people don't suddenly disappear and all Christians, you know, flying airplanes and trains and buses don't crash because they've disappeared when that treaty happens. Oh, they're going to start looking at the foundation. If they really love him, if they really want to know the truth, you'll always be looking at the foundation. You'll always be making sure that what you believe, what you hold to be true, that is built on a sure foundation. And that sure foundation is his word. And that sure foundation of his word will help you to discover what is true and what that which is not. Read it again. So I will break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar. Yeah, the wall of false prophecy. And bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. And it shall fall. And you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, that you shall know that I am Yahuwah. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to be consumed when the foundation is discovered and the wall crumbles, because I don't want to be leaning on that wall. And perhaps that's a good visual image, leaning on the wall of false prophecy. And when it crumbles, you will be crushed by it. Discover it first, and perhaps you will not be crushed by it. That's the warning. He says, thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. He's going to catch them all in it. To wit, and remember, he went through Israel marking those that told the truth, the true prophets, and those that mourned and wept for the abominations of the city and the nation. The angel went through and marked them so that they would not be caught. They would not be crushed when the delusions fell. But those who he did not mark, they will be caught. They will be crushed in the wrath. Yes, it's a true saying. He has not appointed us to wrath. If there's any hope of you being saved in the midst, you're not going to be raptured out, but you can be saved in the midst of it. You can be marked by the Heavenly Father. You can receive his mark, his government identification, and it's not going to be a physical mark. It's not going to allow you to buy and sell and trade in a debt usury monetary system, but it's going to allow you to live in his kingdom and be spared when these things come on America. Yes, Ezekiel for America. Judgment is coming. Ezekiel for today. That's what this Bible study is all about, because it is so fitting. The prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou, son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, and that's the Yahuwah, that variation on the name, woe to the women that sew pillows to all the armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. I don't know what that means. Anybody have a clue? Let's see. I gotta pick this up here and see what if Henry can shed any light on that. And maybe we can get a, as God has promised, that when he pours out his spirit upon his people, both their sons and their daughters shall prophesy. So the devil, when he acts as the spirit of lies and falsehood, is so in the mouth of not only the false prophets, but of false prophetesses too. And those are the deceivers whom the prophet is here directed to prophesy against. For they are not such despicable enemies to God's truth as deserve not to be taken notice of, nor yet will either the weakness of their sex excuse their sin, or the tenderness and respect that are owing to it exempt them from the reproaches and threatenings of the word of God. No, son of man, set thy face against the daughter of thy people. God takes no pleasure in owning them for his people. They are thy people. The women pretend to a spirit of prophecy and are in the same song with the men. As Ahab prophets were, go on and prosper. They prophesy out of their own heart too. They say what comes uppermost and what they know nothing of. Therefore prophesy against them from God's own mouth. The prophet must set his face against them and try, if they can, look him in the face and stand to what they say. Note, when sinners grow very impudent, it is time for reprovers to be very bold. Now observe how the sin of these false prophetesses is described and of what particulars of it. They are told deliberate lies. They told deliberate lies to those who consulted them. They came to them to be advised, and they told their fortune. You do mischief by your lying to my people that hear your lies. They come to be told the truth, but you tell them lies, and because you humor them in their sins, they are willing to hear you. Note, it is ill with those people who can better hear pleasing lies than unpleasing truths. And it is a temptation to those who lie in wait to deceive, to tell lies when they find people willing to hear them and to excuse themselves with this. They profane the name of God by pretending to have received those lies from him. You pollute my name among the people. You make use of that for the patronizing of your lies and the gaining of credit to them. And I guess he doesn't really explain what this means here. He says, where he talks about pillows and armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, and slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I am against your pillows. Therewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and you shall know that I am the Lord, Yahuwah, by name, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. You strengthen the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked ways, by promising him life. Therefore, you shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am Yahuwah. So a promise of deliverance for people that are made sad. And as the scripture says, if it were possible to deceive the elect. And I believe that many elect are deceived. But there is a point where they will wake up, or they are awakening, or they feel that there's something wrong with the things that they're being told, and that they will be made clear when the wall of lies, the walls of false prophecy crumble down and the foundations are discovered. And those foundations are false. A perversion of the word of God. That's what false prophecy is. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. And that's where the idols of most people exist, in their heart. Everyone hears about idols and they think of statues and things like that. But that's not what it's about. It's not about statues. And they think, oh, those foolish Israelis, those foolish Hebrews, those ancient Hebrews, how could they worship statues made with men's hands? Idols like Ashtaroth and, you know, wooden, made out of wood, overlaid with gold. How? What nonsense. We don't do things like that today. But here, the word of Yahuwah, the word of God, the Almighty, saying explicitly that they have set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? That's the question. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. These are idols in their own minds. These are things that they set up to excuse themselves from his government, from obedience to him. You know, you got all the people out there, you know, their God that they worship. They go to the corporate church and they say things like, oh, I just love God. Yes, I love Jesus. That's right. But his law was nailed to the cross. And, oh, you know, I can go ahead and smoke cigarettes, or I can eat pork. And none of these things matter. It's not unloving to my neighbor if I keep these pagan feast days like Ashtaroth and Christmas and Halloween and enjoy these other idolatries of the world. It's because, but I still love Jesus and I love my neighbor as I see fit, as I understand it. Because after all, God wants me to be happy. That's right. God wants me to be happy. So they have created an idol who they call Jesus, who they call Lord, who they call God. Some of them even call him by name, Yahuwah, Yahweh, Yahweh, whatever, Jehovah. Doesn't matter what you call your idol by, and they think that it is the God of the Bible. They are so deluded, but they've created an image in their mind of a God that wants them to be happy. And of course, their happiness is the most important thing in the universe. I can eat pork because it makes me happy, and my God wants me to be happy. You know, I don't have to keep his law because, after all, I'm loving my neighbor as I understand it, in the way I think I should, and I go to church on Sunday, and I do more than I should because, you know, I tithe, and I don't sleep with my neighbor's wife, so I'm keeping the law when I don't have to, because I'm free from it. And many of these things don't matter because, after all, it makes me happy. And my God wants me to be happy. That's the most important thing in the universe. That's called an idol that allows them to sin. You could look at pornography on the internet. If that makes you happy, after all, didn't God make us men? That's right. You know, he gave us pleasure. And I take pleasure, not speaking for myself. This is what people think. They think these things. They think, if I can take pleasure doing this, then it makes me happy, and God wants me to be happy. Abomination. They put a stumbling block of iniquity before their face. Let me read it again. For every one of the house of Israel, every one that calls themselves the people of God, whether they are or not, they call themselves Christians, or a stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart. That's right. He put a false God there, a false Jesus, a false Yahuwah, false Yahweh, Yahuwah, Jehovah, whatever you want to call him, Jesus. It doesn't matter. You can call him Messiah. It doesn't matter if it's a false God, which you've set up in your own heart, that the most important thing is your happiness. So it's all right if you eat bacon and smoke cigarettes and enjoy pornography. Set up an idol in your heart and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. And that stumbling block of your iniquity, which you set up as an idol in your heart, is standing between you and the Almighty. If you're honest and you ask yourself the question, what is it that is standing between me and the Almighty? That's a question that the Holy Spirit wants to answer. And he will give you an answer if you honestly ask it. What is it that is standing between me and the Almighty? The Holy Spirit will answer you. Can you bear it? Are you willing to put it down? That idol that you set up in your own heart, the stumbling block of your iniquity, the sin that you love so much, the breaking of his law that requires you to say it's been nailed to the cross. He says, I, Yahuwah, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb. I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am Yahuwah, the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived the prophet. That's right. I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Why? Because he has an idol before his face. He set up an idol in his heart, and the stumbling block of his iniquity is between him and God. So he says, if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, Yahuwah, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people, Israel. And that applies today as much as at any time, because we are the people of his holy nation, that spiritual Israel that covers all the earth, the kingdom of Yahuwah, the kingdom of heaven. We'll be back shortly. You're listening to Cross the Border.